Mini episode 462 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross breaking down the AFC. We have taken a look at the best and the worst teams in the AFC. L-curve style, we now take a look at the middles, the teams that will be contending for a couple of the division championships, as well as the one remaining wild card spot, as we have already, before the season's already begun, awarded one of the spots to the San Diego Chargers. So we'll be taking a look at who will be their counterpart in the playoffs. For anyone who wants to go back and check out what we said previously, again, this is our third pass through on looking at the league in this offseason. AFC East was covered in mini episode 386, the Central in 390, the South in 392, the West in 397. We took a look at all the NFL win totals projected for this year and gave our thoughts. Mini episodes 441, 442, 443. Here we sit looking at the AFC, and we had decided off air. Your suggestion, I think, was a very good one, Kyle Ross. Take a look at the three teams that a lot of people, myself included, wouldn't even necessarily put on the level of being in the middle here as far as being projected wildcard contenders.
I just want to say something. The AFC, I don't think, certainly by the way we're doing this, you'll find that out if you're listening. It doesn't fall into as neat a pattern as the NFC does.
No.
The AFC is very messy.
Yes.
With only, you know, we said three, but the agreement is on two. Denver,
yes.
New England top teams. Other than that, it's just like there's going to be a lot of there's the room for a lot of mobility, or, you know, teams increasing, decreasing win totals. And there's just not, like, there's so many X factors, because a lot of these teams that we're going to talk about aren't solid at the quarterback spot.
That's
there are a few that are, and then have holes elsewhere. But it's a real wild card, no pun intended, group here that we're about to hit.
It really is. There's no question about that. The three teams, and it's kind of curious that two of the three teams, my favorite team personally, my hometown Cleveland Browns, I'm picking them for 5-11. The Miami Dolphins, who I'm picking for 6-10, they're my 1A team. Tennessee, who I'm picking for 6-10. These are teams that I would not even necessarily elevate even to the fringes of the wild card race. So these are teams that you thought we should take them kind of collectively, because there would be a lot of people kind of squinting at us going, what?
Yeah,
you
I think
guys
a lot
are
of,
not putting them at the bottom?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would have these teams maybe toward the bottom. And interestingly, I don't have their records much different than you do, despite maybe kind of giving them more of a chance than you are. Cleveland, I have 7-9, so I do think they're going to be better. I think what's happening in this town right now is a classic overreaction of the preseason. I do think things will start poorly.
Yeah.
Those first three games, there is a real chance of starting 0-3, going to the bye, and you know what's going to happen then. Johnny Manziel is going to get started out.
Right.
And I don't disagree with that. I know some people roll their eyes
That's
at the Johnny
right
football,
yeah.
But here's the ultimate problem, okay? Brian Hoyer is – it's a tough spot when you're trying to hold off a phenomenon like Johnny football, okay? Brian Hoyer is just simply not the guy to do it. He's not good enough.
Right.
And if you're a team that's probably not going to be great anyway, you go with the higher variance quarterback, which Manziel is. Manziel's got a lower floor probably than Hoyer, but he's got a higher ceiling. So I don't disagree with making the move to Manziel, but he doesn't appear ready, and you certainly don't want to put him in a situation where he could start 0-3.
Right.
And then you want to, then you start, okay, maybe we go back to Hoyer. That's horrible. Just take your lumps with Hoyer and get better. This team underachieved last year under Rob Chudzinski, who I thought was a terrible head coach, and I had no problem with his firing.
I disagree strongly.
Okay. I just thought that if you look at their scoring differential in the second half of games, that's a very strong indicator of the quality of coaching, and the Browns was horrible last year. I know the talent wasn't there, but if you could be competitive in the first half, what's the problem in the second? Rob Chudzinski stunk. I thought both coordinators were overrated, too, while we're on that matter. This said, I think the Browns, there's just room to improve. When you look at their Pythagorean win expectation from last year, this should have been a six-win team. They only won four. There's some natural improvement. The reason I put them in this group, I think the AFC North is wide open. We've seen it before with a Tim Tebow and an RG3. I don't think it's going to happen, but who knows? Maybe Johnny Manziel comes in and catches lightning in a bottle. Again, don't think it's going to happen. But if it did, would you be like, I can't believe this is happening? Well, no, I wouldn't. I think that with no strong team in the AFC North, you have to put the Browns in this group. That's why I'm doing it with them.
The deck is stacked, though, because they may have the worst wide receiving core
it's
in the league.
It's not good.
It's bottom five.
And they don't have a very good quarterback either, so that's tough.
And again, and I say this as a guy who's got Andrew Hawkins on his bench on one of his fantasy teams, but Andrew Hawkins obviously would be much better off in the slot, okay? This is a team that is
say
bereft.
If Josh Gordon was playing number one.
Yes. This is a team, and this is what I keep saying to people on air and off air. It's not merely that you lost a top two or top three wide receiver in the league. It's that you had nothing behind him. Jordan Cameron, a tight end. He's one of the probably the top five or six tight ends in the league. Hey, he's going to be double teamed from the minute that he gets off the bus. It's a thing where the dynamic is going to be so unfriendly to any quarterback under those circumstances. The scenario you're talking about relies completely on Manziel coming in, scrambling around, and making things happen, which I am personally very dubious about. I'm a Browns fan who desperately wanted Teddy Bridgewater. The team spent 100 grr on a study that they then threw out the window because a homeless guy said to Jimmy Haslam, go draft Johnny Manziel instead. The study said to take Teddy Bridgewater.
And make no mistake about it, they should have taken Teddy Bridgewater.
And the thing
who
of it
I
is
think
too,
is going to be a better long-term NFL yes. quarterback than Johnny Manziel.
Well, and here's the thing, too, and this is it's a ticklish thing to talk about race and race preconceptions in the NFL, but here we go.
Oh, no. Where
Johnny
are we
Manziel,
going with this?
And I'm not even talking about the off-the-field stuff. Style of play. Johnny Manziel is a classic, quote-unquote, black quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater is a classic, quote-unquote, white quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater has the pocket skills more commonly. We can agree. It shouldn't be controversial in 2014 to say the, quote-unquote, white quarterback style is more so pocket and the black quarterback style, quote-unquote, is more so mobility.
Very uncomfortable.
This should be universally accepted.
Very uncomfortable here. Okay.
I'm sure you probably are. It's not. I would hope that it's not a controversial thing in 2014. But again, and my bias is towards the classic quarterback style of play, which Teddy Bridgewater ironically embodies and Johnny Manziel does not. Kind of a Freaky Friday thing, kind of racially between the two as far as their style goes. Just
I'll say this. Both Cleveland and Minnesota,
yeah,
I think have the capability of being pretty good in 2015.
Yeah.
The Browns, obviously, they've got the two picks because they swiped Buffalo.
Right.
Buffalo's the Watkins trade.
Right.
Those are going to probably be two top 20 picks they have at worst.
Mm-hmm.
Can address the receiver position with one and get a best available with the other.
Right.
If Johnny Manziel can give you something, and Gordon comes back, this is not a bad roster. I think this defense is going to keep them in games.
This defense is going to be. That's
Mike Pettine did wonders in Buffalo.
Yeah. And they didn't look good in the preseason, but you're right. There's some overreaction.
I don't care
about
preseason.
Some people are already burying, including FDH Lounge dignitary Bob Benick, who is a good longtime friend of mine. I respect him immensely, but he's way too quick to get the shovel out and bury Justin Gilbert. Justin Gilbert's going to be a stud in this league.
Rookie cornerback struggle.
Yes.
For the most part.
It's nothing more than that. Chris Kirksey is looking very good, like a difference maker on the inside. He's learning a lot. With playing with Carlos Dansby there, this defense will be either top five or top 10. The thing of it is, they're going to have to hold teams very low there. It's a thing of, again, for as much as Joe Banner and his infinite wisdom, you know, what does it matter to pay Phil Dawson? Well, I'd feel a lot better about this team's ability to steal a few games if you had Phil Dawson in there instead of Billy Cundiff. So that's basically what it comes down to. Phil Dawson, who by the way, the words clear and cream kind of come into my mind a lot when I think about that guy, because how did the guy never used to be able to hit a field goal beyond 40 yards and now he's Superman? That doesn't generally happen too much.
Rich Gannon won an MVP after being a journeyman.
Yeah, exactly. But hopefully I've said that, made that innuendo vague enough that I don't get sued. But Phil Dawson with a very uncommon late career resurgence. But I just don't see the Browns. This offense is going to hold them back too much, I think.
I think this team could be 4-4 through 8 games. They're going to start slow. If they do it right, they put Manziel in.
I don't accept that they're starting that they're automatically starting 0-3. By the way,
I don't either because they get New Orleans. That's an outdoor game, and New Orleans is not shy about doing the occasional outdoor dud.
Eric Mangini beat New Orleans.
Yes,
as Browns
a game
coach.
That my friend Nick Flash just started yelling, "Where's James Davis?" in the lineup. He was a nothing team was beating the Super Bowl champion by like 100, and this guy's yelling about, "Where's James Davis?"
Props to him.
You talk about a guy you can't. Oh, jeez. And then they get Baltimore at home.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they could win. A 1-2 start, I think, is more likely for the Browns.
Yeah.
But then right after that, after the bye, I think this team can play. I think the Browns will be a little more competitive than people are giving them credit for.
Well, I think it's going to be an excellent defense, but I just think they're going to lose a lot of close games because the offense is going to be so garbage.
Now, Miami, I was going to just move because I think we're hitting the same points.
Eight in the box. I just want to say the running game will be greatly improved. It was one of the worst in the league last year. It'll be at least average this year. But, again, eight in the box, not going to be able to do anything with that. Let's move on again. Miami is another team that is near and dear to my heart. No.
But here's what's interesting. I've got them same record, 6-10. I thought you were going to have them a little lower because I know you've expressed some real doubts about
same
this organization.
I have the Jets at who we put in our bottom tier.
Okay. I have the Jets 4-12. I have the Dolphins 6-10. As things have – what's funny is I have the Dolphins 5-11 up until the last week or so. There are people who I respect
– they're a strange hipster
that
pick.
Have made the case that this team makes the playoffs this year. I can sort of see where they're coming from. I mean, these are people who lay out decent arguments in that, okay, I know the offensive line has all new starters, which is a troubling sign. But Chicago had that last year, and it was improvement because the guys they replaced were all terrible.
Well, yeah, look at
and
what Miami's line was at the end
of
the year.
I mean, something tells me you're not going to have the disgracefulness of last year's group led by, you know, your boy Richie Incognito. By the way, how about the other guy, Pouncey?
Yeah.
How about this idiot?
Yeah.
Did you see what he tweeted? I couldn't believe this. I actually caught this before other people were retweeting this.
Well,
that couldn't be. I don't follow him, so somebody must have retweeted it, and I caught it. When they picked Juwan James out of Tennessee, which was a bit of a reach,
it was a big reach,
but in terms of need, let's be honest, the offensive line was this team's number one need. Pouncey's like, oh, I can't wait to see what he buys us.
Marquise Pouncey, I have to say this.
A man who, by the way, has also wears free Aaron Hernandez T-shirts.
Yeah, yeah. That guy, and I say this as a Dolphins fan, Miami's right down there on the water. I'm a guy that grew up on Cleveland's North Coast. I used to do, so when I was a kid, some water tubing on Lake Erie, ride behind the boat in a tube. I'd like to see Marquise Pouncey doing that, except dragged by his balls behind a boat. I don't like that guy at all. That guy's one of the worst citizens in the league. If that guy was out of the league tomorrow and panhandling on a corner, it'd be too good for him. He's a piece of crap.
Wow, you mean Mike Pouncey?
Yeah.
Oh, did you say Marquise?
You know what? They both suck. They're both
would be in. The man
was
hurt last year. Yes,
they're both
yes.
awful human beings. Yeah. Mike, you're right. You're right. Mike is the one I'm talking about here. He's worse. He's definitely worse.
Okay.
No, but I'm not.
Here's
a fan
the problem
of
with the Dolphins. The AFC is so wide open, and we'll get to my end result here in a while.
Okay.
The AFC is so wide open. I have just struggled all offseason to come up with who are the six playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm convinced that it's going to be a surprise in the AFC East.
Okay.
Now, I hate the Jets, so they got eliminated. That leaves Miami and Buffalo, who we haven't talked about yet. AFC East has not produced a wild card team since 2010, so I just have the feeling as we kind of go through these divisions that because New England's the class of it and there's room clearly for one of the other three to step up.
Yes.
That this is where the surprise team comes from. So I can see, that's why I'm putting Miami in this group, because if Miami makes it, there are smart people that's saying they could. I'm not a believer in Ryan Tannehill, by the way. Haven't been. And this is just a very vanilla team, and I think it's you who've said this in the past. Joe Philbin, there's sort of this stink that it's not working here with
not.
Him. And more often than not, when that stink is kind of around a team, it doesn't go the way of Camp Coughlin.
Well,
every time everyone's willing to write off Tom Coughlin, who also has a larger body of work to go off on as a head coach, when you have that stink, it often nosedives. And I can see that happening here with Miami. But at the same time, there are smart people picking this team to be a playoff contender. People thought this team was going to contend to the AFC East last year. They were that 3-0 start was a mirage. They were out gaining all those games.
Right.
So I'm picking them 6-10. Don't really have a handle on them. And also, I feel that if it weren't for some of these other people talking them up, I would have them much lower.
In terms of organizational chemistry.
Yes, bad.
Akin to what happened, leave aside all of the stuff last year with the offensive line and the bullying and all of that. Look at what happened in New York, of where, again, a new general manager there in the last year or so has been saddled with Rex Ryan. Same thing in Miami. Joe Philbin and I cannot remember her name off the top of my head. I'm drawing a blank here. The female executive in there, they colluded to get Jeff Ireland fired. Now, Jeff Ireland should have been fired. He was a horrible GM. But the fact remains, it's a new guy coming in being told, Make it work with Joe Feldman. That doesn't tend to
You're right.
Work.
You
it's
remember how we were talking about with, when we were talking about Chicago and the
yes.
NFC? I cited their organizational chemistry and how
yes.
I really like everything they've got going on.
Yes.
That's not present in Miami.
No.
So you know
no,
what?
No,
you've kind of
the storm clouds are still there. Mm-hmm. That, never mind what anybody's telling you. As a Dolphins fan, I'd like to believe otherwise, but they're not headed in the right direction. I'm saying 6-10. The
Same
irony is the three teams that we're talking about here, who a lot of people would put on the bottom tier. I got my two favorite teams here, my 1 and my 1A, and the third one is coached by a guy that I think is one of the best coaches in the league and somebody that I was pissed that my Browns passed on twice, Ken Wisenhunt. 6-10, Tennessee is going to be my pick, but I don't think that's a reflection on Coach Wiz in the first year there. I think that, again, they have some nice young parts on defense. They're coming together, but
Scheme change alert.
Questions at quarterback. It's really this is the make or break year for Jake Locker. So you're going to have to see what can happen there. They've always got what looks to be pretty good wide receiving core on paper, but it never really seems to translate as much. Bishop Sankey, who at this point in time looks like he's probably going to be the top producing fantasy rookie in the league, he's going to probably end up as the lead back there, but he's had a bad case of fumbleitis in the preseason. Just a lot of question marks with Tennessee. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think I can rule them out as being an AFC.
You know, some people are lower on them. I'm going to go 7-9. This is the AFC team I have the least handle on, I feel.
Okay.
A lot of that has to do with Jake Locker,
yeah.
who clock is ticking here. I think this is, and it's gonna hit midnight at the end of this season with him.
Yeah.
We're going to either know if he's the long-term answer or not. And with Wisenhunt, what was real perplexing to me about him choosing this job over Detroit
mm-hmm.
is he could work with Matt Stafford.
Right.
I know Wisenhunt has had great results last year as the OC with Phillip Rivers at San Diego. And then obviously in the Super Bowl run at Arizona with Kurt Warner. But when he doesn't have a fringe, we'll call them fringe Hall of Fame candidate quarterbacks,
yeah,
record isn't good.
No.
He never developed another quarterback in Arizona.
Right.
And so I'm a little trepidatious with what he can do with your locker. This is a pretty decent team, and it's a bad division, which mm-hmm. is why, like, other than quarterback, I think this team's got some good parts, but they've got the scheme change into Ray Horton, who, by the way, Arizona hasn't missed, and he didn't do anything last year in Cleveland. So
overrated,
I think,
yep. Yeah.
So I just don't – I'm picking 7-9 again for Tennessee.
Okay. So we got them there.
And again, they're going to play – you know, this is a weak division, so they can only fall so far.
All right. Well, that leaves us with five teams left here. Two teams in the South, two teams in the North, and one team remaining in the AFC East. Let's stay in the South as long as we're there with Tennessee, because you've got Houston and Indianapolis in there that we haven't touched on yet. I had referred to them, the Colts, when we were talking about the top-tier teams here. Most people out there would put Indianapolis in the top tier in the AFC. And even more so than when you said it about Philadelphia, I am a buyer on Indianapolis medium term and short and long term. I'm sorry, but short term, no. I think they got to kind of take a knee for a year. They're maybe a year overdue because
they've overachieved
twice
in a row.
They got away with it twice. People are expecting three times. I got them at 8-8. I got Houston at 8-8. I think Indianapolis again, just like I think Philadelphia is a better team than Washington, but life's not fair. Washington wins the tiebreaker. I think Indianapolis is clearly a better team than Houston. I think they fall back a little bit to 8-8. I think Houston, you've been talking about this, teams that make the wild swings. I think Houston rebounds in a big way from 2-14. I was saying at the time, best 2-14 team in the history of any sport for the very little that gets you, but they weren't a true 2-14 team. They were a perfect storm collapse. Obviously, they still have a number of holes, quarterback being among them. The Ryan Mallett era may start awkwardly mid-season, which is not a good recommended way to go here. But defensively, the pressure that you can bring from Clowney and Watt and Cushing, etc., Bill O'Brien, who I think is going to come in and bring a good focus to this team. Arian Foster and Andre Johnson, I think, got one last run in them.
DeAndre Hopkins is a good number two.
DeAndre Hopkins, absolutely. Indianapolis, they have a defense that cannot survive the loss of Robert Mathis for four games because he's disproportionately important to them. All of these factors, I think, lead to, again, Indianapolis being a better team than Houston, but having the same record and getting screwed on the tiebreaker.
I'm with you. I'm picking Houston over Indianapolis, although I have Houston 9-7 and Indianapolis 8-8.
Okay.
So I don't think it's going to come out a tiebreaker. I think Houston just wins the division outright. This is obviously a pick totally based on analytics.
Mm-hmm.
Houston's is bound to improve. Indianapolis is not. The fact that Indianapolis went 11-5 last year shocked me. It really did. I had them winning seven games. They were a team 2 years ago that had the worst point differential ever of an 11-5 team.
Yep.
Their record in close games under Andrew Luck, it's like 16-2 or something, or 15-2. That's completely unsustainable.
Right.
It's a situation. Now, it's easy to see why people are giving this division to Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the quarterback position, which is very important. I think we can agree on that. You have Andrew Luck for the Colts. The other three quarterbacks tentatively starting right now, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Jake Locker, and your boy Chad Henne. That's
Chad Henne is a bitch.
That is really bad. I yeah. just think that Houston, of the clearly of the three teams in this division that aren't Indianapolis, is the one who can overcome the deficiency at quarterback.
Yeah.
They're pretty strong everywhere else. This is a team that won 12 games 2 years ago with Matt Schaub, who was never great. I mean, there are people who are like saying this guy's a top 10 quarterback. Never thought it. Never did.
I thought
Sorry.
He was on the fringe of it at some point.
Yeah.
I was higher on him.
Maybe top 15. I don't know. But I think this team bounces back from a ridiculously bad year last year and takes the division. I'm with you, though. I agree with everything you said. Long term, as long as they have Andrew Luck, this is the Colts division to dominate. And the problem, though, this year is this defense is off. By the way,
yeah.
you talk about some bad work by the front office. And
yeah.
you have an owner getting arrested for DUI. And this GM, Grigson, has not impressed me at all.
No.
Trading a first-round pick for Trent Richardson? For a running back? Forget about the name. You don't trade first-round draft picks anymore. For a running back?
Well, like
the
Todd Gurley next year might be worthy of that, but
late. This league just does not value running backs.
Well, they are kind of getting away
except
from that.
Except in fantasy. But.
Yeah, they are kind of getting away from that. You're right about that. I just think in terms of looking at this as well, same reasoning also to a degree with both of us for Indianapolis as with Philadelphia. Not everyone is going to repeat in the playoffs. From
no,
the year
yeah,
before.
You have to pick
Who
against playoff teams.
There are a number of teams, I'm sorry, you just can't. Now, look. If Peyton Manning breaks his neck week one, then you could say Denver's
yes,
not making
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
But we don't know these things. Going into the season, there are just teams you can't pick against. Indianapolis, this defense, they're not a team you can't pick against. Andrew Luck may be on the verge of maturing to an MVP caliber
The offensive
season.
Line isn't great either.
Yeah.
You talk about quarterbacks who can get hurt.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck's been very fortunate. He has been under fire for 2 years.
But he's got a lot of weapons this year. I mean, it is possible to be a mega believer in Andrew Luck, as I am, and still believe they can go 8-8.
Yes, they're due to regress.
Yes.
This is a team who has overachieved its Pythagorean win expectation significantly the last 2 years. By the way, you talk about a bad defense. Guess who they open up against? The Colts.
Yeah.
At Denver, and then week two, Philadelphia.
Boy.
I mean, that could be 0-2 hole right there.
Yeah, it could be. You know, and in looking at it.
And speaking with Denver, the schedule. Indianapolis plays the first place schedule. That means New England and Denver.
Yes. And Houston plays the fourth place schedule.
Yes. I think it's just a confluence of you have to look past the Fitzpatrick Luck debate.
Mm-hmm.
But by the way, I know it's tough, but that is what got people into some trouble that were picking Denver in the Super Bowl last year when you just made it a Peyton Manning versus Russell Wilson debate and then neglected, you know, the other 23 people
on
the field.
But that's the
21 people on the field.
Even in looking at that, I mean, I was a guy saying at the time, if you think, as I do, that Russell Wilson has a chance to be a Tom Brady-esque kind of quarterback, then that doesn't even look like a mismatch to me. And indeed, he outplayed Manning in the Super Bowl.
You're right. That's not clearly the mismatch that on paper
exactly.
that Andrew Luck versus your boy Ryan Fitzhipster is.
Yeah.
I'm not a Ryan. Why didn't they just trade for Mallett earlier? Why would they do that now?
That's a stupid
move. That was
move.
Curious to me.
That's a really
I didn't
move.
Like it because then if Fitzpatrick struggles, people are going to be clamoring. Ryan Mallett and Kirk Cousins are like the hot chicks you never slept with and they turn out to be dead fishes.
That's an interesting point of comparison
I don't think those guys are starters in this league.
You said something about Luck that I want to bring it full circle on, and that is that, and it's always, when you look at Indianapolis, when you look at the Pythagorean thing, whatever, particularly a quarterback with the last name that he has, it's always fun to joke about uppercase Luck and lowercase Luck. Clearly, they've had a lot of lowercase Luck the last 2 years. But Luck has had, Andrew Luck, a number of INTs the last couple of years that haven't hurt the team. So you can believe, as I do, and this is perfectly logical, that Andrew Luck will take major strides in year three, but that he will have bad luck, essentially. That like maybe the fewer picks that he throws do hurt the team more than his many picks did not in the first 2 years. The pendulum, luck-wise, lowercase luck, I think is going to swing against him this year. It's the law of averages. You pretty much never go wrong betting against the law of averages, I always think. So, yeah.
Yeah, and remember, I mean, he was horrible in that first half against Kansas City in the playoffs. I mean, it looked like they were going to get ounced by the Chiefs at home.
You know, again, he's going to be an absolutely amazing quarterback.
Oh, he's already top five. He's already top five in the league. But I mean, I just think that
the next
he doesn't have a lot to work with here.
Yeah, then the next
the receiving core could be pretty good. I mean, he could put up huge numbers. Indianapolis
really
is a team
good.
That will be interesting to watch in, like, the red zone. I think that most of their games are going to be high scoring, only this time they come out on the losing end.
Yeah. For not having what anyone would consider to be a number one fantasy stud wide receiver. No, I don't put T.Y. Hilton on that tier. But for not having that, they have one of the better wide receiving cores in the league. It just, you know, when you look at Hilton, when you look at Wayne, when you look at putting Hakeem Nicks in there, it's not bad at all. Even without, I believe that they're not going to be availing themselves of LeVon Brazil here, which I think is an unfortunate move not to have that Bobcat in the mix. But, you know, again,
they
I think
have Jason's boy.
Yeah, Lurick Rogers, Derek Rogers.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That Jason Jones, our senior editor at FDH, keeps talking him up. So that's how we see the South shaking out, with Houston taking one spot, Indianapolis
So
not
you don't have
Indianapolis
making a wild
card.
Okay.
I do not.
I do not either.
All right.
It's funny. I just think that I see how the Colts are a consensus division winner.
Uh-huh.
I just think it's a dangerous division winner. Like Philadelphia. Indianapolis and Philadelphia, I view them very, very similarly in that the consensus that exists around those teams to win the division should not exist. They're not as dominant over the rest of the division as most people think.
An excellent segue there, Kyle,
because there is one division in the AFC which is completely up for grabs, and really the only division.
I was going to say I thought there was a little bit of a consensus about Cincinnati repeating.
And no, this is clearly the one division in the AFC where people are picking multiple teams.
All
I've seen all three teams that we haven't talked about yet pick to win this division.
Okay.
The Browns are the only one who have not been.
Well, yeah. As I look at it, I have Baltimore at 9-7 winning the division. I got the Squealers at 8-8 taking
Stop
a wild
it.
Card. I have Cincinnati at 8-8 missing the playoffs. Cincinnati, to me, the commonality again with Indianapolis and Philadelphia. If a team is vulnerable on this, we said there's some gimmies that won't make the playoffs next year. Then there's the middle ground teams. You have to pick against the entire middle ground because you can't pick against New England, Denver, Seattle, San Francisco, Green Bay, etc. So, sorry, Bengals, you're not going to make it. I think that they do have a chance for an implosion at quarterback. I think they tried foolishly to avoid that with Andy Dalton's new extension, that basically they can just, you know, shove him down everyone's throat.
Yeah. Similar to Alex Smith, by the way, who just got a deal from Kansas City. I thought both of those are bad deals.
Well, here's the thing, though, and I've read two different things on this. Bill Barnwell wrote something that just absolutely decimated Andy Dalton's contract extension, which was my initial thought going in. I did read something by past Lounge guest Will Leach, who said that the Bengals, after 2 years, have basically, like, no obligations there. Basically, after 2 years.
Oh, I mean, it's the NFL. You can get rid of these guys.
Well, here's the thing, though. With signing bonuses, you can be hurt because of the proration of the contract.
Yeah, I mean,
it would be possible.
Oh, just ask the Oakland Raiders about dead money.
Well, yes. And that's, now, if Will Leach is saying there's no dead money after 2 years, then I think they made the best of a bad hand by trying to wring something out of Andy Dalton one more time, just because, again, there are so few options at quarterback in the NFL. I think it's safe to say by the end of this season, certainly by the end of the next season, final verdict will be in on Andy Dalton. You and I already think we know what it is, and it's not a kind one.
No, I think it's going to happen before the end of this season. I see this team in a similar trajectory toward the New York Jets of the Mark Sanchez era, where very talented roster, limited quarterback, and eventually the talented roster just can't continue to carry a limited quarterback.
Well, and we talked about this when we were looking at the win totals for this year. Two new coordinators. That won't be good.
That's a key. When you're picking against teams to repeat in the playoffs, you have to look at stuff. And this is only the fifth time, by the way, that a team has lost both of its coordinators not being fired. Obviously, you know, obviously, if you fire both your coordinators, that kind of intimates they were bad, and there could be some improvement. But three of the four instances have seen pretty steep declines in win totals.
Right.
You had the 94 Niners going from 13-3 to 11-5. Just so you don't think I'm doing this off the top of my head, I'm clearly looking at the Football Outsiders Almanac.
Okay.
The 2004 Patriots lost Chaz Weiss and Romeo Crennel. They went from 14-2 to 10-6.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently, the 2006 San Diego Chargers went from 14-2. Remember that 14-2 team they had with
yes.
Marty? They lost Cam Cameron and Wade Phillips, neither of whom did a very good job in their head coach jobs. But they
Peter
dropped
principal.
They went 14-2 to 11-5.
Yeah.
Now there was one team that improved. I wanted to reference this team.
Okay.
The 99 Jaguars, who lost Chris Palmer, your other boy,
mm-hmm.
and Dick Geron, who I didn't even remember was the defensive coordinator there.
Mm-hmm.
They jumped from 11-5 to 14-2. Remember that weird season,
yes.
99 NFL season, where like it was Jacksonville and St. Louis out of nowhere were the best
yes.
teams. Jacksonville lost three times, all of them were to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So history's not really on the Bengals' side here. And the fact they've made the playoffs now 3 years in a row,
right.
don't you just kind of think they miss out this year? I'm going to say 8-8. They've
I
got
agree.
The first place schedule again.
I agree.
That means Indianapolis. That means New England. That means Denver.
Yep.
Decrease in wins. I was very high on this team at this point last year because they retained both coordinators.
Right.
I am down on this team because they lost them, and I no longer have confidence in Andy Dalton.
Well, and here's the thing, too, and I'm trying to think back to last year. I think I picked both Baltimore and Pittsburgh to make the playoffs, as I'm doing here. Ravens to win the division, Steelers to take the wild card. But again, I believe that whatever it was.
You might have picked all three.
I might have, yeah.
I think I did. I'm almost positive you did.
Yeah, I did. But I know I've picked both of them to make it the last couple of years. And the thing of it is, and I will say this, that in a league that is full of uncertainty, again, you stuck your neck out last year on Kansas City. I didn't. Spoiler alert, you're going to stick your neck out again in a way that I'm not going to. But that feels, and it's ironic because as a Browns fan, I loathe both of them so much. It feels so cowardly for me to do that because it's a safe default kind of a thing. I think we can all agree that whether it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, wherever it was along the way, and it might not have been the same point for both of them, they've both peaked. They're getting older, things especially
the
defensively.
Ceiling is not as high.
The ceiling is not as high, but when you look at a bad AFC, I'll use the word again, a historically bad AFC.
And a weak North. I mean, there's no great team. If we think Cincinnati has been the great team the last couple of years, if we think they're going to regress, somebody's got to step up to fill that void.
This is the cowardly thing of, like, trying to play the stock market, trying to fall back on safer investments rather than ones that can make you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could stick my neck out and pick other teams here. But, again, Baltimore was the easier one of the two for me because, by default, for the reasons that we said, it won't be Cincinnati, it won't be Cleveland. I had already kind of ruled Pittsburgh out of the mix. I was going to go for another team in the AFC that we haven't talked about yet and that you still might. I have both of these teams at 8-8. I have Cincinnati at 8-8 also. I'm going to default towards Pittsburgh just because of experience. They have a lot of problems internally here, too. They have a couple of running backs that can't put down the blunts, no pun intended. Todd Haley is a disastrous presence internally.
I'm shocked he's still employed,
yeah.
quite frankly. But it seems, and maybe this is just PR mm-hmm. spinning, giving impression, it seems that him and Roethlisberger are more on the same page than they've ever been. They ran a lot more no huddle down the stretch last year,
okay.
which is what Roethlisberger wants to do.
Okay.
And they did more in the preseason, too.
Okay.
So while I share your sort of ugh about Todd Haley,
yeah.
it seems they may be working that out.
Yeah, and that's when you got them winning the division. You still got Baltimore missing the playoffs, but I know
yes.
you got Pittsburgh winning the division.
I have Pittsburgh winning the division at 10-6.
Okay.
Like we kind of talked about with Washington in the NFC East, it's a default situation.
Yeah.
Cleveland, I just don't think can make the leap. Cincinnati's going to regress. And maybe this is me being stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Baltimore. I think that in the sense that I think they're a little too revered still based on past accomplishments. Last 2 years, I think they've been extraordinarily lucky to A, win a Super Bowl, and B, just finish 8-8 last year.
Sure.
Remember, they were 8-6 last year, and I was pounding my hand on that damn desk when we were doing the shows down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a playoff team. If this team makes the playoffs, it's one of the crappiest playoff teams I've ever seen. They didn't. They got blown out in the last two games.
Yeah.
I thought last year's team was kind of like a 6-10-ish team. Their offense was horrible.
It will
they
be
cannot run
year.
The ball.
You and I differ on Steve Smith.
Steve Smith is old and is not going to give him much. Joe Flacco likes to chuck that ball.
He won't
deep.
Stretch the field, but Torrey Smith will. Torrey Smith is a stealth, legitimate number one wide receiver. He'll stretch the field. Steve Smith will be working underneath.
I don't think Torrey Smith is legitimate number one. I disagree with you.
That might be our biggest point of disagreement.
Well, and here's something we can't disagree on.
Yeah.
Their running game was so bad last year.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be any good this year. I don't think that they're set to adjust to the Gary Kubiak style. And when I look at the Ravens, their defense isn't what it used to be. It's okay, but it's not great. And when you have the kind of, when you're paying Joe Flacco the kind of money you're paying him, it prevents you from upgrading at other spots. They didn't have that issue when Flacco was still on his rookie deal.
Yeah.
They look, Flacco put him in a tough spot because he had the, you know, for Flacco, it worked out great.
Right.
He couldn't have chosen a better time to have the best run of his career. And
Perfect storm.
And quite frankly, when it's all said and done with Joe Flacco, I think that's going to be the best run of his career.
Probably. And realistically, again, how do they let him walk away under those circumstances?
You can't. It would look bad. So you pick the Ravens for what?
I'm picking them for 9-7, win the division. Pittsburgh at 8-8 as a wild card.
Okay, you and I differ. This is one of our bigger differences. I got Ravens 7-9,
okay.
Missing the playoffs.
All
Steelers 10-6, winning the division. I do not see, and I kind of alluded to this earlier with the AFC East, and you know, if you're crossing out for teams at home, you know that there's one team we haven't picked, and you've got to be saying, oh, my God, there's no way.
Yeah.
But I do not see two teams coming out of either the North or the South of the AFC. I think they're very weak divisions. So like I said, I think the sleeper this year comes out of the East. We know New England's going to win the division already. We agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Jets stink. And you and I both talked about how we're not as high on the Dolphins as maybe some others are who have them as a trendy pick. So Rick Morris, that leaves Bills?
How about that?
Normally in this spot, you'd pick a team. This is where I struggled. Normally, you pick a team who improves by like 4 or 5 games to get this spot. Buffalo is not going to improve by 4 or 5 games. I'd like to get that out of the way. That would put them at a 10 or 11 win team.
Right.
And no, they're not a 10 or 11 win team.
Right.
But if I look over the landscape of the AFC and you see teams that could go either way, I think Buffalo is the one most likely to have a best case scenario. I like Doug Marrone. As a coach, there's some emotion going on here with the passing of the owner, Ralph Wilson, win one for him. They swung for the fences with the Watkins move. They're not doing that stupid thing where they forfeit a home game in Toronto.
Right.
A game that they always get killed in.
Right. Some of that has to do with playing Seattle in one of those games.
Yes. But this was a 6-10 team that was a little better than its record. While Baltimore was an 8-8 team that I thought was worse than its record last year, Buffalo was better than 6-10. They were really competitive. They had 2 overtime losses. And I know that the defense is not going to be as good as it was last year.
Right.
They've lost people, namely coordinator Mike Pettine, who took the head coaching job with Cleveland.
Right.
I am on an island here, and I'm just going to say the offense is better.
Well, I get a lot of people when I've talked them up, well, I don't know about the quarterback. That tends to be the thing that people say to me all the time, pointing out about Kiko Alonso defensively, the loss of him. So they have some things working against
them. Yeah, Jarius Bird was lost.
Bird.
Although, to be fair, I don't think it would have been wise of them to match the deal that he got with New Orleans. New Orleans is in a win-now mode.
Yeah.
And by pairing him with Kenny Vaccaro, they've got one of the best set of safeties in the league.
Right.
So I understand why the Saints paid him the money. Buffalo probably wouldn't have been wise to do that.
I picked Buffalo when we were doing our win total shows
about
a month ago.
They are my only recommended overplay on win totals this year.
All right.
Over 6.5. The Bills sneak into the playoffs at 8-8 or 9-7.
Okay.
And do not win a game, obviously. And they probably, who knows if they'll be good next year. I just think there's going to be a sneaky, sneaky team, and it's going to be the Bills.
I got the Bills at 8-8 myself, and I do not have them making the playoffs. I am backing off of what I had said previously about them. I am retreating to the cowardly default of picking Pittsburgh. That said, you and I, with a convergence on 11 of our 12 playoff teams, that is our only point of disagreement on who we have making the playoffs this year.
You have Baltimore, while I have Buffalo.
Yes, and so in the AFC, I then in the playoffs have number 3, Baltimore, over number 6, Pittsburgh in the first round, and number 5, San Diego, over number 4, Houston. Second round games, New England over San Diego, Denver over Baltimore. I have New England over Denver in an AFC championship rematch, this time in Foxborough, and Seattle over New England in the Super Bowl.
I hate this pick. Picking Denver win the AFC again. I'm picking a Super Bowl rematch. That's so bad.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be more competitive, but Seattle wins again.
I get to be less chalk on something than you. That doesn't happen very often. That really doesn't happen
very often. It's a horrible... horrible, gutless pick to pick a rematch for the Super Bowl. I don't think I've ever done that.
Gutless. I picked Baltimore and Pittsburgh to make the playoffs this year. We're all finding safe retreats to default to here.
Yeah.
You know, hey.
I have a Denver-New England AFC championship game. It may come down to who has home field.
We can't always stick our necks out here. We can't always do that. We got to go with what we think is going to happen. So we both agree Seattle to win the Super Bowl here. You called it ahead of time last year. You went
over Denver.
To
I had Seattle over Denver last year, and I'm going with it again.
You were right on that one. I said, I'll admit it, San Francisco over Houston in the Super Bowl last year. I came very close to looking right on San Francisco. One Richard Sherman pass pattern away from being right, quite possibly on San Francisco. Houston, I whiffed on that by more than a little bit, but yeah, I'm saying Seattle over New England. You're saying Seattle over Denver. Check back with us in February, and we'll see which one was right.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.